This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton. This is kind of a combination podcast today because we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects and then talk about my other favorite subject. And joining me on the phone right now is one of my favorite co-hosts because I only have two, and I have two favorite co-hosts. Does that make sense, I guess?
Wow.
It's Zane O'Mac. Let's talk a little bit, Zane. Tell what's going on today.
That's me, Dave. I'm here.
Okay.
Raw is live tonight in San Antonio.
And by the way, you sent me some pictures that your friend sent from San Antonio, and I put it on a Facebook page, and we're already getting a lot of responses from that. People think that's really cool.
Yep. Boots on the Ground report says that Raw is live and is going to happen in San Antonio tonight.
Good.
But that's besides the point, Dave. We have a special guest on the other line with us. He's being oh so patient and oh so, so kind and waiting for us to get through our cold open here. That's not really considered a cold open, is it, Dave?
No, it's just an open.
Just an open.
Because I have an intro that I play right before this. So.
But if the AC's on, does that mean it's cold?
Not in here anymore. I mean, we've had such a hot summer. You know that. And where our guest is from, I imagine it's been hot too. So
let me introduce you to this fella, okay? He is not a bad guy, and he's not a good guy, but he is the guy. He is coming to us live from Texas, the free state of Texas, the man, the myth, the legend, my friend, Mike Traina. Mike, say
Howdy
something.
Y'all.
Come on.
Howdy, y'all. How you doing?
Bring it in hot, Mike.
Bring it in hot. I'm bringing it in as hot as I can, Zane, here from Texas. We're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and boy, I tell you what, I was sweating today just outside playing catch with my boy. So
that would do it. Now, you're the second person I've talked to in Texas in a week's time. Because on the Radio Guy Reflections podcast, I talked to Art Rascone, who is an anchor in Houston, Texas for ABC 13. And that was a very interesting little podcast we did with him, if anybody wants to listen to that. So
it's a little bit south of us here. That's cool.
Yeah.
Mike, I want to give us a little background on you and I. And then I want to turn the time over to you a little bit to introduce yourself. But when I first moved to Central Utah, I didn't know hardly anybody. And Mike Traina reached out to me, and we sat down one night and just had probably one of the best conversations I've had in my life, just two guys just talking. He asked me to help him in his church calling. And it was a good experience. I learned a lot. But I think what I appreciated most about everything was how kind you were to me and my family without even knowing us. You welcomed us into the community. You welcomed us into basically your family. And you didn't have to do that. So I do want to tell you thank you for that. So, Mike, why don't you take it from here? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, what you've been doing in the past. You're no longer in San Pete. Give us a little background on, you know, if you like professional wrestling, if you're familiar with it, and just give us a little bit about what you think about the whole thing.
Well, I appreciate that, Zane. That's a pretty kind introduction there. And I was looking around the room here trying to figure out, who's he talking about here, this nice guy? I don't see that guy, but I've appreciated your friendship. And there's just some charisma about you that kind of drew me towards you. And I wanted to be your friend. And the best way you can become friends with someone is find them in a calling with you so you can hang out with them and stuff like that. So that was a That was a good thing. Dave might not know that the real reason I became your friend is so I can get an AC unit in my house, and you can do that really good. So.
Now the truth comes out. The truth comes out.
I wish he was near me and put mine in last year. It wouldn't have cost me as much.
I'm just kidding. That was an afterthought. He kind of led me that direction, and then I called him back on that. But no, it was purely just out of friendship, and I appreciated Zane and his great love for wrestling. And I tell you what, that's one thing that I kind of connected with, because I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and they had and I forget what it was called, the arena that used to have, maybe it was called the Checker Dome. I can't remember. They had
the Checker Dome, then it went to the arenas just off Highway 40, because I lived about 7 years in the St. Louis area, so I'm very familiar with what you're talking about. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then they may have the wrestling at some other location there too, but I didn't go to a lot, but I remember going to one and then watching the rest on TV, because I was one of those kids that didn't have the dough to always go and watch them in person. But man, that was the days of Dick the Bruiser and Ric Flair. And I just loved watching those guys on TV, Hot Roddy Piper and Randy Savage. And that's exactly why Zane kind of got into my heart, because he goes out on Halloween, Dave, and Macho Man Randy Savage out there, and he got the voice down just perfect.
Oh, he does, doesn't really he? Awesome. Give us a little taste of Randy Savage here, Zane.
Oh, yeah. You know, the tower of power, too sweet to be sour. Oh, yeah. Funky like a monkey.
Yeah, you're funky like a monkey. Mike, when you talk St. Louis, and you said one name there that kind of ties me in with you just a little bit. You said Dick the Bruiser, and
you remember him?
I don't know how old you are. I know I'm probably the old guy in this troop, but my second experience with professional wrestling was at something called the Kiel Auditorium in downtown St. Louis. My uncle took me to see wrestling. This was in 1968, and I saw Jack Briscoe. I saw Dick the Bruiser. I saw Bruiser Brody. And so when you mentioned Dick the Bruiser, big, big fan. He was just an old-time scruffy dude that just would go in there and kick some bruising butt. So we have that in common there, man.
Definitely so. And that he was actually my favorite. Maybe it was just the name, Dick the Bruiser. What a name. And, of course, Ric Flair is in there too at that time and all that stuff. But yeah, that was the venue I was trying to remember was the Kiel Auditorium.
Okay.
And that's where they would always do it, at the Kiel Auditorium. Checker Dome is where I watched my hometown St. Louis Blues play a lot before they got to the Savas Center, or whatever they call it now. And, of course, baseball town. St. Louis is a big baseball town with the Cardinals. And grew up as a Cardinal fan as well. But, boy, that wrestling thing, that just drew Zane and I together. We kind of talked about that a little bit. And we never really got to go much further than the Macho Man Randy Savage and talking more, because we just had so much to do there. He's got a cute little family and his kids, and I've got a bunch of kids and stuff like that. But, growing up in St. Louis, the first thing that, just to give you a little background on me, I've been in radio for, oh my goodness, since I was probably 20 years old, and I'm 50 now, so it's been about 30 years. The reason I got into radio was because I was one of those high school kids where all my friends are picking careers. I got an architect friend that was going to go to school to be an architect, one that was going to go and, go to trade school. And here's Mike Trina wondering, what the heck am I going to do with my life? So I'm just sitting there thinking, and then, we'd always get together because, St. Louis is a big hockey town. So we play a lot of street hockey on the pavement of the church parking lots and stuff like that. And so I would actually start to announce our games just like the, Dan Kelly did and, Gus Kyle and those hockey guys. So I just started announcing. So when it came to my friends were making decisions about their careers, I say, well, why don't you just be a radio guy? And I'm like, oh, maybe I can be a radio guy. I looked it up. They had a broadcast school there in St. Louis called the Broadcast Center. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Uh-huh. So I went there, and my idol in hockey's son was giving a seminar there. His name was John Kelly, Dan Kelly, the hockey announcer's son. And he got into calling play-by-play of hockey too. And he just got me hooked. He talked about being a sports play-by-play guy. So I went to the school for 2 years and then got my first job out in Montana. So I went out to Montana, did some high school play-by-play out there, worked for a radio station, and then eventually got hired down into Utah in the Sanpete County area where Zane was. Well, he wasn't there yet. I was there first.
Oh, yeah.
Then I got there
a long time ago.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. So anyway, I got a job there at the radio stations. We covered about 10 high schools in Snow College, and I just stayed there and was loving it, calling play-by-play of football, basketball, and other stuff like that, did a little wrestling. And so that's where I basically lived my life for about 20 years, was right there and doing that kind of stuff.
So, Mike, a lot of people locally, they know you as the voice of the Badgers. How did you become, and the Badgers, in case anybody's wondering, there's a local junior college here in Sanpete County. They're one of the best junior colleges in the entire nation, Snow College. I mean, they've got a lot of recognition across the whole country. How did you get involved with the Badgers? And tell us a little bit about that college, the collegiate level, and just some of your experiences with that a little bit.
Oh, sure. I got on to doing Snow College. Well, the voice of the Badgers before I became the voice of the Badgers is the current voice of the Badgers now, since I have stopped doing it, Gary Chittister. And he's been teaching at the college for, umpteen years. I think he's probably one of the most senior professors there at the college now. But he was the voice of the Badgers for years. I was doing high school radio station, so I'd always listen to him and never thought he would give it up. And then all of a sudden he did, and then I was like, well, maybe I could throw my hat in the ring. So I started doing the Snow football broadcast and men's basketball broadcast. I think that was a 2004 or 2005 I started doing that, and just announced the football team. And you're right, the talent that comes into Snow, because Snow is one of the few junior colleges that are left where those kids who may not have the total grades to get into a Division I college or need some brushing up of their skills and need some playing time at a JC before they can make it to Division I, that's where these type of guys go. And when one of the saddest days of my life is when I heard that the Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints, was shutting down the sports programs at Ricks College in Idaho. And that was heartbreaking for a lot of people. But a lot of those kids that were playing JC football up there decided to come to Snow. Snow became the big cog in the JC world of college football. And then when Dixie State went to a four-year institution, they also lost the JC kids that wanted to go there. So Snow just became one of these juggernauts in college football. And I think they played in one national championship in 85. They won that. But when this all happened, I think they've been in a total of three, possibly four national championship games. They haven't won it yet again. They just played in the last one mm-hmm. this past year and lost to a Kansas team in the last quarter. I think it was a very close game anyway. So that's what I've been doing for about 20 years, just traveling across to Arizona and Colorado and back to Kansas, calling Snow games. And it's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun calling that kind of that level of play, because it's the collegiate level where you got the best of the best almost of the high schools playing. So it's kind of fun.
And you've had quite a few players that were at Snow that went on to star for BYU. I think one or two went to U of U and even to Utah State University. And I think a couple of them have actually into the pros a little bit. Any players that stuck out in your mind during that time frame?
Well, there's a couple. Deuce Latui played at Snow. He was went on to play at USC and then went on to play, I believe, for the Arizona Cardinals and played there as a lineman, I believe, an offensive lineman. There's just been quite a few. Matt Asiata, you may remember him from the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. He played in that year that Snow was ranked number one in the country and then lost a heartbreaker at Eastern Arizona to knock him out of the national championship game. Had a kid on there that played, Garrett Bowles. Oh, yeah, he's the University of Utah guy playing for the Denver Broncos on offensive line. You got Aaron Boone, wide receiver. He played at Snow. Josh Heupel, you remember him, the Heisman Trophy?
Oh, yeah.
Runner-up in 2000.
Uh-huh.
Played at the University of Oklahoma. Star Lotulelei and Brett Kiesel. Brett, of course, Super Bowl champion for the Steelers.
And got a great Bronco. Beard. Got a great beard.
Yes, he does. And so does his relatives there that live in San Pete County, too. Oh, there's some cool Kiesels there with some good beards, too.
All right. My kind of people.
Yeah, so there's a few players. Like every JC's got someone that's made it the big way. Of course, another one was Capri Bibbs. I don't know if you remember him from Colorado State University. He's kind of a rocket kind of running back anyway. So I can't remember who he plays for now. But, yeah, there's a lot of kids that you'd watch for. And then after you call him as a snow announcer, you see him in the NFL and you're like, oh, there's that boy. There's my boy, you know. I called him when he was – JC Ball. He doesn't remember me, but anyway.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, a lot of fun.
So let me ask you a little bit more about your early background, because we share a little bit about Missouri. Where were you at in St. Louis, maybe at the high school so I can place where you were, and what time frame you were there?
Well, I'm a graduate from the 80s, graduated in 89, a little high school there. I didn't go to one of those big high schools, but it was a small school called Afton High School. It's kind of in the it's just outside the city limits of St. Louis, so mm-hmm. It's really close. I mean, my grandmother lived in the city, and I was just outside the city limits, so that's basically where I was. Went to a small high school and gave me the opportunity to play a little football, play a little baseball, and do a little, you know, theater and stuff like that. I'm not very good at theater. I found that out, but at least I tried it.
That's right.
So I'm sure Zane probably did a little theater back in his day, the way he can kind of act there.
You know, all I did was make a fool of myself.
And you did it very well.
Yeah. I cause controversy. Controversy follows me everywhere I go.
So, Mike, I'm going to throw out a couple of schools for you, okay? Because I was actually back in Montgomery City, Missouri, if you know where that's at, about halfway between St. Louis and Columbia. I did high school play-by-play for Montgomery County, Montgomery R2, Herman High School, Wellsville Middletown. But I one of the games I remember the best was Brighton High School, right outside of the airport in St. Louis, and it was a playoff game, and it was tied at, I think it was nothing at the half, and then Brighton High School decided to put in the 4x100 state record relay team as their wishbone offense, and it ended 55-0 or something like that after one.
Ouch!
It was a biggie, but. Yeah, then I'm going to throw out a name and just see if you knew that he was in that area in professional wrestling at Bowling Green High School. It was Kane. Glenn Jacobs went to Bowling Green High School during that time. And now he is the mayor of Knox County in Tennessee. That's Knoxville. It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
I call it the Dave Denton Book of Useless Knowledge, and I always come up with all these weird things for people, but... Yeah, I'm very familiar with Afton. I'm very familiar with all those schools in St. Louis. Did a lot of high school sports in that area for about 8 years. So, yeah, we might even ran into each other sometime. There was even a wrestling event at the old Busch Stadium that had Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, Andre the Giant. But it was outdoors at Busch, and I went to that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun time. St. Louis, by the way, is a great town. It is one of my favorite places to go to.
It's got a lot of history there, and of course, there's some sections of St. Louis that, you know, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, when they had some immigration going on, that was one of the central locations where a lot of the Italian immigrants settled, in a place called The Hill in St. Louis. In fact, the fire hydrants in that section of town are painted the same color as the Italian flag. You know, they're green, red, and white, and it's kind of cool you're in that area. But that's where a lot of the Italian immigrants had settled, and that's where my family settled, because my grandfather came over on the boat from Sicily, and my great-grandfather came. My grandfather was probably 8 years old, and they settled in that area. And, of course, that's the place where Yogi Berra, you may remember that name from baseball, he hailed from that area too, and a lot of other baseball players, and I don't know many that made it big time, but you'd have to go back and look. But they also had that, a lot of those guys played soccer. And my two uncles were on the Team USA soccer team back in the 50s.
Wow.
They're both inducted into the Soccer Hall of Fame in St. Louis, Pete and John Traina. And I think I even went to their induction into that Hall of Fame for soccer there in St. Louis. But
that's awesome.
They both played on that those teams. And they went to down to, I guess, South America and played some games. And the U.S. team wasn't stellar back then by any means. But I think he was one of my uncles, not both of them at the same time, but I think it was my uncle Pete, may have been on that team that that miracle match. They made a movie out of that. I don't know if many people have seen it, but it was when the Team USA, I think, either tied England or something like that down there, which was huge for USA soccer.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I've got a lot of ties to the Hill over there. And every time I go back to St. Louis, I love to go back over to Berra Park, which is named after Yogi Berra. My dad played softball there. My uncles played soccer. My younger uncles, these were my great uncles that played for Team USA back in the 50s. Right. But a lot of good times back there, Dave. It's just, you know, I remember playing high school football at Afton High School. And just like you mentioned that story about the football team, we went down to Soldan, which is down in, I think, down near the city part of St. Louis. We played them in the first round of the playoffs, and we had this fast running back, and we were so excited. And we got up 8-0 because he scored like a 60-yard touchdown. And then kind of the same thing there. All of a sudden, they put their three or four running backs who could run faster than lightning, and I think we got beat 55-8.
Yeah, some great athletes back there, though. I tell you what, they had some great football teams.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But good times back in St. Louis. You know, I remember as a kid in the 80s, St. Louis Cardinals were in the World Series, and I remember they won the World Series with Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee and Darryl Porter and boy, all those guys that, you know, Joaquin Andujar was in that area as well. I don't know if he's on that championship team or not, but we were outside banging trash can lids. The streets were just buzzing as the Cardinals won the World Series. And, you know, of course, they won the World Series a lot more than the Blues ever got to the Stanley Cup final, which that was never until a couple of years ago. But anyway.
Well, I was there at the old Busch Stadium when the St. Louis football Cardinals played their last game against, I believe it was, the New York Giants before they moved to Phoenix in Arizona. So I got to go there. That was only my second game I ever got to go to Busch Stadium. But just a great baseball town, hockey town. Football was kind of third in that area. Didn't you find that?
I always struggled to fully support the football team and keep them there with what they had going because, yeah, like you said, baseball is number one, hockey. They even had a hard time keeping around the indoor soccer team, the St. Louis Steamers or something like that.
I went to a couple of their games, so.
Yeah, they had a goalkeeper back in my day called Slobo Ilieski. I just remember Slobo. I'm like, who names their kid Slobo, right?
Who names their kid Zane?
Name?
Yeah.
Zane's next kid's going to be named Slobo, right?
Yeah, you've got me thinking now. Like, thinking wheels are turning. So I want to talk a little bit more about wrestling. I mean, you guys are all like, oh, I'm a sports guy. I know all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know anything about sports. All I know about is NASCAR and professional wrestling.
Oh, and comic books. Don't forget the comic books.
A little bit of comic books, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like my kid's got more comic book knowledge than me now.
Oh, like, good for him.
Like, you don't know about this person and this person? And I'm like, well, no. Well, Dad, you got to watch more Young Justice.
Oh, yes.
So, Mike, I know we've talked a little bit. You kind of don't follow professional wrestling super heavy these days. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. Yeah, it was back in the 80s that I was really into them. And I mean, I wasn't one of those kids that, I mean, I wasn't wearing the wrestling shirts. I wasn't, you know, always looking to go to these. You're probably the biggest wrestling fan that I know. And I don't know, Dave, maybe he is too, but you are just like over the top. And I was like, man, this dude is cool. I kind of like him. So, but yeah, I wasn't really all into it. I mean, it was something to go do and something to be a part of. And yeah, when I was a kid, I'm eating my Cheerios and I got the flipping, you know, WWF, when you can call it that back then, watching that on TV. And you'd always see these Saturday matches and the tag teams, and they're just great entertainers. You know, that's what I loved about wrestling, is that the guys know how to entertain. I mean, Rick Rude, Ric Flair, Randy Savage, they all were able to, the way they talked, it was just fun. They were cocky and you just laughed. It was awesome.
Well, that actually really, really leads me into this next little bit. This is perfect. And I'm trying something new, Mike. We're getting tech savvy here on Turnbuckle Trash. And so I'm going to play a clip. I if you can't hear it, let me know, and I'll figure out another way. So this clip's going to play right now.
Yeah, and I just think it's like, I want, like, you know, wrestling can be you versus me. It can be, but I think it can be so much more. You know, I like making connections, and I like making subtleties, because I think for me, the more I'm in it, the details become more and more important. And not just the details in our facial, the details in our movement, the details in our footwork, but also the details in promo work, or in like stuff that you wear, or like little hints that you drop here and there, now tying in social media, because it's a different world, right? So for me, that's where the fun comes from, because it allows me to create, it allows me to keep my head focused on something, because I need an outlet. I can't sit still. Like, if you ask my wife, like when I'm walking through the house, she'll hear me like screaming and making moves and all that stuff. She's like, "You're okay." And I'm just like rehearsing promos or coming up with you know, ideas for like character things, or like I've written stuff, like frantically written stuff.
When
I've
the muse hits you, you gotta take advantage of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it hits a lot. And I think I've noted more stuff down than I've ever like translated towards an audience. But at least I've got a good like manifest, you know, to work from. But that's where wrestling for me becomes fun, when I can drop these little details and where I can really sit and digest it and go, we can do this, we can do that. And funny enough, one of the things that you did with Shawn Michaels.
Okay, so that was Aleister Black talking to Chris Jericho on his podcast. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. You know, he really talks about what wrestling means to him, and he really talks about it from an entertainment point of view. What do you think about that from the entertainment point of view? I mean, because everybody's always like, "Oh, wrestling's fake. How can you like that crap?" But everything is entertainment. I mean, sports. You've been involved in sports a lot in your life, and it's entertainment for everybody. And football, they're athletic, and baseball, they're athletic, and here you've got a little bit of a different type of athlete, to where maybe the matches or the moves or a few things are predetermined, but I don't know. Tell me what you think about that, just for a minute.
Well, I've always loved being entertained. I think everyone loves to be entertained. You know, when you go to a football game and you have a prolific announcer that calls the game, you like to listen to them because they're entertaining. I mean, anyone can tell you what's going on in the game, and it can be boring, and you're like, "Oh, this guy's a dud." But you know, it's about entertainment. I felt that way with wrestling all the time. I mean, you watch wrestling, and you're like, "Okay, that size actually hits another dude where he hit him. That's going to split up. That's going to be stitches right on the spot. You're going to see blood pouring out." I mean, you knew that some of that was not what it was. That wasn't what it was about. It was about, and I don't think the fans really wanted their heroes or their wrestling guys to be actually hurt where they couldn't perform the next week or the next night or whatever they did. They love the entertainment value. It just looks great. If the more that they can sell it, that, you know, what they're doing, because that stuff is hard to do. I don't know if you were like me as a kid, where we'd get our friends together and we try to mimic the wrestling guys, and we're like, "Oh man, that move is so hard. How did he do that?" You know, it never looked real when we did it. And we're like, "Dude, these guys are really talented to get that much muscle to do what they're doing from the height they're doing it, and being able to swing each other around." I mean, a lot of those moves that they do in the ring, and I don't, you know, I'm showing you that I don't know a lot about wrestling, because I don't know the names of all those moves, you know, but the way they're get on the top of the turnbuckle and fly through the air and knock into each other and make it look sellable. I mean, there's guys that can do that, and you're like, "Oh, that's totally fake." You know, that look bad. That was us. That was the kids. We're jumping off the roof of my house and playing with each other, and it's like, "This ain't working. I just sprained my ankle, dude." So from that standpoint, you just love that. And I think that what led up to it most, Zane, you're asking that question, is the way these guys talked, the way they acted, the way they sold it, the cockiness. You know, they'd be the good guys and the bad guys, and the guys who were sneaky and guys who cheated, and which I loved about wrestling, because there's really no rules. You know, the referees never really clamp down on anything. They hit people with chairs, and you're like, oh, he should have a concussion. He should be knocked out. It's no, he turns around and then goes after him. It's awesome. So I love the entertainment value, the way the guys talk. And the guys you remember, at least for me, are the guys that, you know, like Randy Savage or, you know, I can't even remember the guy who wore the Joker blazer that always was the manager or something like that. What was his name? Does that come out? Guy with the beard, black beard, black mustache, sunglasses, and he was like the promoter.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
Mouth of the South.
Those guys, they sold it, man. It was so fun. And then, you know, Hulk Hogan and, Roddy Piper was my fun, because he would always get so mad and red in the face. And I love that guy, you know. So it's just stuff like that. It's entertainment. And those guys were the best at it. I don't know anybody else who can act like those guys. You know, that's why some of these guys go into, you know, The Rock and John Cena. They go into acting because they know how to do it, man.
You talked about Zane. Sometimes I think you and I, we have so many people say, oh, that stuff is fake, and why do you watch it? We don't realize there's so many closet fans out there. Why else are the two top movies out right now? One of them stars John Cena in the Suicide Squad, and the other is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who is in the Jungle Cruise, I think it is, by Disney. Two of the top movies out right now. Some of the top TV shows on cable are all wrestling shows. Wednesday night, All Elite. One of the top TV shows on cable all night long. You get people going to independent events. They might not be selling, you know, 5,000 and 6,000 seats, but consistently 200 to 300 seats in some of the smaller venues. And then when they get to like San Antonio tonight, that place will have 18,000 to 19,000 people rocking the house to watch their heroes in the ring in professional wrestling. And I think it's a great lesson to learn for us, Zane and I, that there are people out there that say they're not fans, but secretly they are, aren't they, Zane?
Oh, yeah. And I find that interesting. I never thought of that, Dave, where you said the top two movies in America right now are star professional wrestlers.
And then you add Dave Bautista in there with all the movies he's done recently. And there's a third name, just huge names, all professional wrestlers.
Well, and I know that there's a show coming out on Stars right now called Heels. That's a drama series that stars Stephen Amell. And it's, you know, it's about a small promotion in the South and these brothers. And, you know, that's a pretty big name network, and I'm sure they've had to put a lot of money into this show, and they're counting on it selling and doing good, or else they wouldn't be putting it on the air. So there's got to be something to there's got to be something more to wrestling than the handful of people out there that say, oh, it's just fake. I mean, like Mike said, it's entertainment, and everything. I don't know. I mean, we as human beings crave to be entertained.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we look for that moment where, you know, our work week is been a drag, and it's been busy, and I mean, I'll tell you, you know, Dave and Mike, a couple weeks ago when we got to go to DCW with me and my kid, I mean, that's what it's all about for me, is that entertainment value and that time spent with my kid, building those memories and building those, you know, relationships, and then you stack entertainment on top of that, you know, watching Leo Wolf go through a table and just so much that happened that night was so entertaining. And football entertains us, NASCAR entertains us, you know, the movies entertain us, but yet so many people kind of say, oh, well, wrestling, you know, that stuff's fake.
Well, Zane, you and I have talked about this, and I will say, if I ever watch another episode of Survivor, just cut my eyes out. You know, I watched it twice, and I'd never get those 2 hours back. I can't stand those singing competition shows. The Masked Singer, no, not this kid. But it's just different forms of entertainment. And Mike, you mentioned a name a couple of times, and I'm just going to give you, once again, from the Dave Denton Book of Useless Knowledge, you've mentioned a guy who was also an actor at times. He was in the Spider-Man movie, Randy Macho Man Savage, where he played Bonesaw.
Bonesaw McGraw!
Yeah. So Mike, I'm going to give you a little Randy Savage trivia here, because his real name is Randy Poffo. And Randy Poffo made it to AA Louisville Cardinals. So he was in the Cardinal organization and before he decided to go into professional wrestling with his father and brother.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go.
That's useless. I don't know where I'm going to use that, but that's cool to know.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's Dave'sVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. And while you're there, check out my other podcast, which is called Radio Guy Reflections. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at Dave'sVoiceWorks.com. Dave'sVoiceWorks.com, spell works, W-O-R-X.
I don't know karate, but I know karaze.
Yes.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
One thing I just wanted to kind of add that Mike's talked about, you know, who's to say that some of these names in junior college and stuff, you know, a lot of these athletes that might get a small injury or that, like Mike said, might not be quite fast enough to make it into the Division One or the pros or something like that. You know, professional wrestling is a great outlet for a lot of athletes.
Yeah. You know, we get to see, and then, you know, we've had the opportunity to actually talk and interview quite a few of the professional wrestlers, and that's been such a joy because, above all, you know, we're not experts. We call ourselves fans, and how much fun it's been to be able to do this podcast with my buddy Zane. For what? We're going on 7 years, aren't we, man?
Yeah, can you believe that?
That's unreal. But Mike,
that's amazing, guys.
Yeah, you're in Texas. You said the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I'm just going to make sure that you know that was a hotbed for professional wrestling in the mid-70s up to about the mid-80s with the Von Erichs, and boy, they had the Freebirds go through there. Eric Embry, and they used to wrestle at a place called the Sportatorium right in Dallas, Texas, and they said it was one of the biggest rat holes in the world. But now you know you're in one of the hotbeds of professional wrestling, too.
I never knew that. That's kind of cool. You don't see the remnant of that around here too much. You know, you see a lot of football stadiums that they put millions of dollars in, and it makes the Utah football stadiums look like junior highs or preschools, I tell you, man. But that's cool to know. That is cool. I know we're kind of close to Nacho Libre area, too, and, you know.
We had a lady that's very famous in wrestling, and her family is in the lucha wrestling business, and that is Vicky Guerrero, the late Eddie Guerrero's wife, who is now appearing on All Elite Wrestling and helping them coach them, especially with their promos. But Mike, professional wrestling in Dallas-Fort Worth was huge, and there's still some Von Erichs out there. the two sons of, I think it's Kevin Von Erich, wrestle in Major League Wrestling. And one of the other brothers' daughters, Lacey Von Erich, has been in and out of wrestling for a long time. And they're very talented. I've watched them, all of them together. And I think that sometimes when they bring, if you're hearing them come in with Major League Wrestling to Dallas, you got to be there, man. You got to be there.
Yeah, Von Erich, that's right. I hadn't remembered that name until you just brought it up, you know, and I had to Google it real quick to look, and I see, you know, all these wrestlers with trophies, and I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah, I remember those guys.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool. So, I think was it Kerry that who made it the biggest in the wrestling?
Well,
was there one?
He wrestled with a prosthetic foot because he actually lost his foot in a motorcycle accident. So all that time he was in WWE making those spectacular moves, he was doing it on a prosthetic foot, and that's just amazing.
Wow. And these guys are talented. You know, you were talking about the talent of the WWE and the guys that can make it, and Zane was saying that, you know, some of those guys who can't make it at the professional sports level can come and have maybe a career in wrestling. But you know what? There's a lot of guys who can wrestle. I mean, the wrestling, you know, that they do in the NCAA, I mean, those guys can wrestle. But you take one of those guys, they might not have the personality that they can actually be a WWE wrestler, because these guys have to be charismatic. They have to be quick of wit. They have to be athletic. And most of all, they have to entertain. And I think that's why we have these heroes that we do, whether it's The Rock or John Cena, or, you know, whoever goes in there that way. You know, I don't know how Ronda Rousey's done as being an entertainer the way she talks, but I mean, these guys are really talented guys, and they got to think quick with their minds and be fun and entertaining. And there's a lot of guys who have a lot of God-given talent that really can't do that when it comes to that. So I really respect wrestling. I love them for that, and that's why I get excited about it when I watch it. And I've never watched you know, SmackDown or anything like that where I've said, man, that was a waste of time. But you know what? I went to a BYU Utah State football game about 6-7 years ago, and they played a 6-0 football game, and I left that game saying, that was a boring game. There was no scoring.
That happens a lot with Utah State sports. Oh, I shouldn't say that. So they've got their former quarterback playing for the Green Bay Packers right now, and Jordan Love. So anyway, when you're talking Dallas and Fort Worth, tell us what you're doing now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Well, I told you earlier that I was the voice of the Badgers at Snow College for 15, close to 20 years, something like that. And my wife and I have a sister-in-law who lives here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And she has two special needs kids that she has. And we wanted to, she needed some help, and we kind of talked about it and tried to do some things where I could maybe work remotely for the stations that I work for. And we made it work. We were able to get talk to my employer there, and he was willing to let me work from the Dallas-Fort Worth area while my wife was here helping her with her two special needs kids. And they've even started a podcast on their own to help moms who are kind of overwhelmed with the pressures of raising a special needs child. And so they're doing that here. And so we moved here to be here to help them. So I had to give up the thing that I love, which is calling games on the radio for Snow College and the local high schools. So we've been out here for about a year and a half doing that. I'm still working remotely. I'm actually talking on the microphone that I use every day to work for my job back there when I record radio ads or do a DJ show for one of the stations back there in San Pete, which I hope Zane's still listening to me on the radio back there.
Absolutely.
Cool, cool. So that's basically what we're doing. We're having a great time getting to know the wonderful people here in Texas, and there's a lot of good people, a lot of good entertainment down here. And, of course, right now we're kind of feeling fortunate because we've got one of the governors down here that's allowing us to kind of stay open with this COVID thing going all the way around the country. So it's been nice.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about that podcast, and I'm going to tie this into another podcast I do. You said that they're doing a podcast for parents that have special need kids and doing that. What is the name of that podcast?
They call it the Clarity Call.
Okay.
The Clarity Call podcast, and you can find it where you normally find podcasts at. And they just kind of get together and talk about different ways to help mothers kind of cope with that or families. And it's really kind of a good positive thing to help them get through that. Because if you've ever known anyone that has a special needs child that they have to monitor 24/7, and sometimes it's life-saving things that you have to know, it is so you don't live a normal life. It's not like you can go on vacation and go somewhere. It's really kind of emotionally a struggle. So they just came up with this podcast to try to help moms like that and give them some hope out there.
Well, the reason I said that was because on Radio Guy Reflections, I talked to a morning team in New Mexico, and they're a husband and wife morning team, and they have a child who is extremely autistic. And we talked about the struggles of doing that. So I would like to kind of get those two people, together, and maybe they could do something special, and she could help them out and they can help her out. And I'll pass that information along to you because, you know, not having a special needs child myself, I have been around a lot of special needs children, and they're special, special people because they can bring such a joy to your life, even though it is difficult. So tell your relatives that my hat's off to them, and we'll give them some plugs on our podcast too.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. And then you can give me a plug with your boss down in San Pete, you know, if he needs another announcer, because I'm basically retired. And Zane can tell you that I'm pretty good, right, Zane?
Only the best.
But you said he was the man. So if Mike's the man I'm the best.
I guess, what
are you doing
between the three of you? Between the three of us, I'm sure we ought to be able to come up with some cool name or some triple threat tag team, or, you know. We have the best, we have the greatest, we have, or what were you, I don't know. You guys are confusing me now.
You know, that's the thing I love about podcasting, because I'm just going to say it right out. You don't have to worry about messing up. You can have fun. It's like radio kind of used to be. And Mike, I did some work for WIL in St. Louis, the number one country station there, filled in a couple of weekends for my friend who was the program director there. And I worked in Columbia for a country station there for a while I was also doing the stuff in central Missouri with Montgomery R2 and the Montgomery City station that I own. But radio's changed a lot since the 80s, and I think you've seen it. And one of the things that you're talking about right now is being able to do radio and not be in the market. You're what we call a voice tracker. And what are the special, the good and the bad of being a voice tracker? Because it's got to be a special talent that to make it doing it right.
Well, the good thing is that it's convenient. It's accommodating to be able to do it when you can and where you can. Technology is just amazing. I mean, here we're on a podcast. You're in one location, Zane's in another, and I'm halfway across the country in another. And it's just amazing we can all get together and chat and have a good time about wrestling, about sports, and talk about that. It's kind of neat that way as well. You're able to kind of work. You're as an announcer or a radio guy, your opportunities open up. You know, you can work for a station in Maryland or work for a station in Phoenix or something like that and be able to track from your house. I mean, that's amazing. I guess some of the downfalls of that would be, you're not really in the market to be able to, you know, hobnob with the local people and talk to them. And you can look at the weather forecast and some of the events going on down there, but you really don't have the feel. You can't be at station events. You can't be at to talk to the people. So I guess that would be a downfall of not being able to do that. You're kind of removed from the situation. But, again, it's all about entertainment. Here I'm watching TV and I'm watching WWE on TV when I'm flipping through the channels and I don't watch it regularly, but I'll stop and say, I'm going to watch this for a few minutes. This guy looks fun. So
that's awesome, Mike. And I'm going to send you, I'm going to get your email address in a little bit. I've sent it to Zane, but I did a little thing when I lost my job here in Logan about what local radio could learn from professional wrestling. And I'd love to send it to you and get your thoughts on it, because I thought it turned out pretty good. So just been such a pleasure. Zane, you got anything else?
Yeah, one thing I want to talk to Mike about, we didn't really cover too much on the radio side of things was, it seems like, Mike, most of your career, you've been involved with radio here in Sanford County, which is a rural area. And so how was it to, number one, make a living in a small community? Because we all know that radio announcers, Dave's talked many times, don't get appreciated as much as they should. And how did the community react to you? And I mean, because like Dave's always talked about being almost a local celebrity up there in Cache Valley. You know, Dave, tell him we've heard it 100 times, but Dave, tell him the story.
the story about having a certain body appendage and all that. Yeah. Okay, Mike, back in the year 2000, I became very, very ill with some kidney problems. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, in 18 months' time, I had 11 surgeries and spent weeks in the hospital and almost died 1 week that I was in the hospital. But during this time frame, I had stents put into my urinary tract system, and it goes from the kidney to coming out, right?
Yeah.
And it's trying to get you an open pipe, you know, right through from the kidney out. And I had been going to this one doctor's office during this time frame, probably at least once every 2 weeks for a year. And I had a stent put in one of the surgeries I had, and the doctor decided to take it out, and it was an in-office procedure. Well, here's good old Dave. I am sans clothing. I am butt naked, as they say in the South. And I ain't got a stitch of clothing on. And I am in stirrups, about like I'm about to give birth. And there is this little nurse, little lady, sitting over in the corner. And she had been my nurse this whole time. But I never talked about what I did because I'd never went around saying, well, I'm on the radio, do-de-do-de-do. And all of a sudden, when I'm in there and she's in there and I'm in the stirrups and she says, well, Dave, I wanted to thank you for those circus tickets you gave me. We sure had a lot of fun.
I get a kick out of that every time you tell that story.
You can't believe how red I turned. It was, and then right before I started getting well, I'm in the Budge Clinic, which is right next to Logan Regional Hospital, and I'm having just x-rays done. And the x-ray technician recognizes me, but luckily I had a robe on, you know. And then I got ill again, and I had to have a little emergency surgery because of a sore that popped up in between. Well, you just don't want to know where this big boil popped up at. It was bad. Uh-huh. And the wound had trouble healing. So I was going to a wound clinic, and the nurses there that were helping me, luckily one was a guy, they started bringing in students to look at my bare butt and other regions. And I thought when they asked me if they could bring in a student or two, I thought, you know, maybe 4 or 5. No, it was like 10 at a time. They were running them through like they were going through a TSI line at the airport. And finally, I had to say, that's enough. I'm tired of people looking at my, yeah. And that went around the hospital. I'll tell you, they had to laugh about that. But, yeah, you are you do become kind of a local celebrity. It's the low end of the celebrity spectrum. But you do become a little bit of a celebrity, and I say that's a good thing and also can be a little bit annoying. And I think you probably found that in San Pete County when people would recognize you either from your voice or they saw you at a remote or saw an ad that was maybe in the newspaper that featured you. And it's nice and also can be a little bit disconcerting, can it?
Yes, it can. You're right. The best thing that you can do as a radio guy is just keep your mouth shut wherever you are and you stay incognito. However, once you open your mouth, everybody, you see their ears perk up and their eyes go, wait a minute. I've heard that voice before. What is the radio on? Yeah, exactly. And you can't get out of that at all. You know, it is. I've never been in stirrups letting people look at things that I don't want them to see, but you know, I can relate to you that way. And you know what? They're always going to remember you're the guy that they saw in that position because you're the radio guy. You know, they'll forget the guy that was there yesterday or the day before, but they're always going to remember Dave.
Dave was
in
there,
the stirrups.
Yeah. And then one more quick time, I had a knee replacement several years ago, and I had a little complication for that, so I had to go to the step-down unit, which where, you know, it's not as intensive nursing care. But some friends came up to see me, and they were waiting while a doctor was in the room examining my leg. And they heard the nurses in their little station saying, "Yes, that's the guy on the radio. You just listen to him. Listen to his voice. You'll say, that's Dave. That's the guy we listen to every morning." And so I got a big kick out of that. And I love them. I love getting recognized. But there were times when I would say, okay, I just didn't need that. And I love that little nurse to death. And I hope she never gets to hear that story and recognizes it's her. But that was embarrassing.
good times, so, though. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
So just real quick, Mike, tell us a little bit about just kind of your experience being – you're in Santa Fe County for most of your career. And, you know, because I'll tell you real quick, believe it or not, it was a tiny bit of a culture shock coming from even just Cache Valley down here. You know, the slower pace, Santa Fe County is a pretty tight-knit community. And, you know, it was a little bit unnerving at first to go, how the heck do I fit in here?
Yeah.
So tell me what you think about that, Mike.
Well, yeah, it is a different way of life for sure. There's no Angie's restaurant to go to and hang out at. There's a few around there, but you know, it is. It's more laid back. It's more a farming type community. I mean, there's just some major businesses there. A few. You work at the prison, you work at the turkey plant, or you work for the government somewhere in school district or whatever. So there's only a few. I mean, there's others obviously, but. Yeah, you're right. It seems like you come in and you're kind of an outsider. But, you know, once you find a group of friends, and I know you were our friend when we were there, and you're still our friends, by the way, just so you know, because we just came back to Manti not this summer and saw Zane and hung out with his family outside the church building, eating some ice cream and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. and that's where he kind of reapproached me and said, "Hey, we got to have you on Turnbuckle Trash. Yeah, I forgot about that. Let's get you on." So. You know, I'm glad I'm on now talking to you guys, but yeah, it is, you come to a small town and, I grew up in a big city. I grew up in St. Louis. So here I come to a town of 3,000 people when I'm in a city of, I don't know how many million, but you know, it's really a lot different. And, but yeah, you get that feeling that, you know, people there are caring. There's a lot of good caring people up in Cache Valley. My parents live up in Cache Valley and River Heights and, you know, there's just good people all over. And, I hope Zane's felt that. I felt that after a while being there and it's just a good hometown feel. You got the temple there too. And it's just like the Logan Temple. It's awesome.
I was just going to say it is a fun place. And, you know, and, Dave, I'm sure you see all my pictures of, you know, the fishing and the hunting and the local things. And I mean, yeah, it's a neat place.
Especially if you love the outdoors. I mean, and you do. You love the outdoors. You even went ice fishing this year, which they do a lot of in Cache Valley, but I don't think you get old big old Dave out there. No, not. I'd be going right through that daggum ice. So.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the one thing that I got a little chance to think about a little more there is that the small towns that are in San Pete County, they each have their celebrations, and they may have this up in Cache Valley too, but I mean, you go to Ephraim and they have Scandinavian days. You see the guys wearing the horns and the, you know, the the Nordic stuff, and it's really cool. You go to go to Fountain Green and they got Lamb Days in Fountain Green. You go to Mount Pleasant, they have Hub City Days. They got the great county fairs with stuff going on there. It's just more of the rural type of atmosphere, and those are the big events. You know, 4th of July and you know, just all those things that go on there. Demolition derbies, those are cool to go to. it's fun. So there are a lot of fun things in rural areas that you don't get to do, you know, elsewhere. You know, I've always been one that Dude, Six Flags is the best. Why would I go to the county fair and ride those rides? Come on. But you go to the rides and your kids love them and you love them and you play those silly games and pay money to try to win that dumb animal, but and you're having a good time. So rural areas are kind of really neat that way. And like Zane said, and you said, Dave, four-wheeling in the mountains and going fishing and hunting and hiking and shooting and all that stuff, it really does have some entertainment value to it.
So, Mike, I wanted to ask you a quick question as we were talking about smaller towns and smaller markets. Did you find it different when you were doing high school sports, especially when you went from your local small town feel of a school and you went to maybe Provo or maybe you went down into St. George and played the bigger schools? Did you feel that the bigger schools had less participation from an audience? I don't know how you approach that.
Well, it just depended. If the football team was good from their school, they probably had more participation.
Yeah.
But you're right. It seems the smaller schools have more of a devout, clientele, for lack of a better word, fans.
Because yeah.
They come out whether the team's winning or losing, and that's their pride. I mean, the basketball teams at these small schools are like the Utah Jazz for Salt Lake. And I know the Utah Jazz has broad appeal to our little towns too, but these are the games that everyone went to. I mean, the people who don't have any kids going to school anymore would come to the games and watch because that was their team. So yeah, that was a big thing there. And when you go up to I went to Mountain Crest High School and stuff like that, and you call the school and they say, what do you want to do? We want to broadcast the game. Broadcast, you mean on the radio? Yeah. Do you have a place up there? Maybe with some power and the phone line? No, we don't have anything like that. Who broadcasts high school games? You know,
right.
This was back, 15, 20 years ago. And you're like, well, we do. We've been doing it for like 30 years. So,
and you had a good audience for it too. Your local town really supports that too, don't they?
Exactly. You get a lot of business support wanting to have advertisements on the games to let people know they support the team. And it's just, it's really big. I think, in fact, not trying to let the cat out of the bag, I think our high school games made more money than the local junior college did because there was more people who were interested in the high school games than the college, because the college would bring in kids from all over the state and the high school team had the kids from the town on it. So it was just a lot bigger that way. But yeah, that was really different. The other thing that I noticed, and this is just one little side story, I just started at Mid-Utah Radio there in San Pete County. My first game was that I called on the radio was a Juab High School basketball game. Manti was playing Juab. And here I'm from outside. I just came from, an LDS mission. I had just gotten back about a year into being back, and this was my first game to call. So I didn't have any devotion to Manti or Juab, but I went and called the game at Juab High School, and I called the game on the radio, and then a Juab fan comes up to me after the game and says, I heard your San Pete drawl on that game. You were so one-sided, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was just as excited for the Juab kids as Manti, but I was pegged as the Manti announcer.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was kind of funny.
They do that, and you can't win for losing sometimes, so that's awesome. And when you're talking about high school sports, on a recent edition of Radio Guy Reflections, I talked to Bob Apoon, which is a name you might be familiar with. Bob Apoon did the Utah State Aggie broadcast for football and basketball for several years. And Bob, when he was in Illinois, was in a small town and actually had a interview that we play on Radio Guy Reflections in 1978 with the man that came up with the idea for lights during a night football game. And back in the 20s, they had their very first one in Illinois. And that's a fascinating story. And it's on Radio Guy Reflections.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So anything else, Mike? We appreciate you coming on here, but don't want to take up all your time because you're probably getting the live feed from San Antonio on Monday Night Raw, and I got to wait until 9 o'clock tonight to start watching it.
I won't play the spoiler and text you what happened, okay?
That's fantastic, Mike. I appreciate that. Zane?
Well, hey, yeah, I got to thank Mike, too. I thank him for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your stories. And most of all, thank you for your friendship, Mike.
Well, thank you, Zane. And Dave, good to be on your show finally. And this has been a real treat for me. I've been dreaming of being on Turnbuckle Trash since Zane brought it up to me. And I'm just glad to finally have it in there, man. I can't, but I don't have any ammunition to shoot at Zane anymore because now he's had me on the program. So darn it.
Well, Mike,
it's been a pleasure, though.
It has been a pleasure. And I'm going to go right back and say, Zane is a very good friend, and we've been friends for several years now and kind of hit it off. We've been friends ever since. And now I got another friend. I got a friend in Dallas, Texas. So I appreciate you being on with us, man.
All right. Thank you so much. You gentlemen have a good day.
Thanks, everyone.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro
yes!
wrestling from a fan's yes! perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
The real reason I became your friend is so I can get an AC unit in my house, and you can do that really good. So.
Now the truth comes out. The truth
funky like a monkey.
Yeah, you're funky like a monkey.
We as human beings crave to be entertained.
Brett Keisel. Brett, of course, Super Bowl champion for the Steelers.
He got a great beard. Got a great beard.
Yes, he does.
If I ever watch another episode of Survivor, just cut my eyes out, you know?
Man, this dude is cool.
I get a kick out of that every time you tell that.